Buglers, we are live from Leicester Square Theatre on the 16th of September with Chris Addison and Alice Fraser. It might be our only London date of the year, so get your tickets now. Oh, get them at thebuglepodcast.com. That bit's important.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Hello, welcome to Catharsis. I'm Tiff Stevenson, full-time comedian, part-time massively unqualified therapist for this podcast only. Each week I talk to a guest about small things, pet peeves, historic beefs, old wounds that maybe need healing. We also dive into a topical gripe to see if we can provide some insight, but mainly some catharsis. You can sweat the small stuff with me. This week I'm joined by comedian Ali Makovsky, but before we get into her issues, I would like, of course, a moan of my own because I'm currently on a health kick and I've started drinking collagen, which is great because my hair growth is accelerated. It's really, really growing out of my nose. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but I guess it didn't specify where the growth would be, but it's supposed to help me with my skin. It's supposed to help skin and it's supposed to help hair growth. So on and on it goes. And I just feel like this is just womanhood is a process of growing hair in some places, removing it in others, and repeat until you're dead. I don't know who decided that the hair on my head has to get dyed and tonged and I need to make that look like there's more of it, but my moustache hair there needs to be less of. My eyelashes need to be more of and my eyebrows need to be less of because we've gone back to the 90s. Pubes should not be on show. I don't mind pubes. I've got to say I don't mind pubes, but I have forever been upset by my sister once on the beach referring to someone else's old Holborn hanging out. So I have a real upset around pubes. But I just feel like hair, it's everywhere. Why do we get so upset about it? Have you got thoughts on hair?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I'm a hairy woman and, yeah, there's a lot of maintenance that goes into hair, and I'm at the age where I'm deciding what maintenance is for me and what I do for other people. And, you know, because, like, growing up, it's like, yeah, you have to have a clean bikini line area, you know, no facial hair, obviously. Guys would hate that, and you'd be bullied and made fun of. So, yeah, just a constant process of being told what hair is unacceptable and trying to figure out what I'm fine with now. Yeah. And I don't want it to be, I've accepted it because I'm now in a relationship. But I think if me and my boyfriend were to break up, I would still have the same perspective of, like, not caring as much about the hair that grows on my body.
It was, like, not the thing to have armpit hair when I was in my 20s and stuff. And then in my 30s, I was just, like, occasionally letting it grow. And I was like, oh, I'm quite attached to that now. But I sort of oscillate, like I had a real big, like, feminist, I'm anti taking it all away. You know, pubic hair, but then I started getting some greys and I was like, I don't want to look at Professor McGonagall's top knot in the shower. So I just like, so yeah, part of it is my own probably internalized shame around it. So I find it quite bold when people go, yeah, here's my legs. I haven't shaved them. And it's still quite a radical thing. So I'm like for it. It's interesting that you say your own acceptance, like how much of it is around society and how much of it is how much of it have we internalized?
Yeah, and even like I took a shower this morning and I was going to shave my legs and I was like, I'm not wearing shorts at any point on this trip. I don't plan on going to any beaches. I don't even know if there are any beaches. But like, I don't plan on showing my legs. And then I was like, even if I do, who cares? But then it is this thing where if my legs are hairy and you can see them, I feel the need to apologize. I know. I know. Like, I know that you're going to see it. And if you do see it, just I know that you know that I know that it's hairy. And I plan on, I have to like show my calendar, or, you know, my diary.
I put in a shaving slot for like 5 o'clock.
Yeah. So like, don't worry. It will be taken care of. I'm sorry.
I just, men never apologize for that, do they? They're like...
Exactly. That's why I'm like, why does it matter? It's just, yeah, it's my own judgment. That's why I tell other people before they judge me, because I judge other people. So I'm like, I need them to know. If you're going to judge me, I'm already aware. And
that's why we do stand up.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it all before you get a chance to say it to me.
Yeah.
Let's start by opening up an old grudge. This is the section of the podcast where we delve into an old grudge, and that is something from the past that you wish you'd handled differently, or you even just want to get off your chest and have a complaint about it. Could be someone from work, someone from school, a friend. Hit me up.
I was trying to think of stuff, you know, last night and today, and I was trying to think of like obvious ones. And then as I was on the bus, I remembered I had a friend who I'm still friends with, but we were in about middle school at the time. And well, okay, there's two incidences and they kind of tied together. Same person. In elementary school, we grew up together. We were friends, you know, growing up. We went to the same school. We lived in the same neighborhood. And when we were in elementary school, she had a younger sister, and the three of us would hang out a lot, and we'd play school. And we would read Junie B. Jones books, but she would always read. She would always be the teacher. And I wanted to be the teacher, and she would never let me. She would always be the teacher and read the books, and I just had to be her student, and it pissed me off. And then in middle school, we would hang out, and when we were hanging out, she would do this thing where if we hung out for too long of a period of time, instead of being like, I need a break from you, which I guess in middle school, you don't quite have the vocabulary of boundaries and things like that. But she would be like, she would whisper things under her breath. We'd be hanging out in her bedroom, and she'd go, oh, you're so annoying. I wish you would leave. Or like, shut up. And I could hear her.
So it was done loud enough for you to hear.
Yes. It was really free. I was like, she's possessed.
So you weren't allowed to read, so she didn't want you to be in control of the group.
No, I guess that's the issue. Yes.
But the whispering under the breath is vaguely psychotic. I mean, how old was she at this point?
Maybe 12, 11 or 12.
Right, okay. Oh, this is like, these are like demon years for girls. Like,
yeah.
From that to like teenage years, it's actually kind of terrifying the shit that we can get up to and how we can be to each other. But the whispering it is kind of going, because I think at that point, I think when I was that age, even I knew to not, if I had something really mean or a thought about someone or I didn't like them, I would keep that inside unless I knew I was going to say to them, I don't like you and you did a thing that I don't like. And then that would be a deliberate confrontation.
Yeah.
But this is like such a... Because there were other people there, presumably.
Every once in a while, yeah, her neighbor would be over there.
And she'd do it when they were there.
Yeah, and she'd be like with the neighbor friend and talking to her. And then if I'd come over, she'd be like, leave me alone.
Wow.
Honestly, though, kind of, now that I look back, I'm like, kind of a cool move. Because it's like, you're avoiding confrontation because it's so quiet that you'd have to just be like, what? 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 What was that? And then they'd either have to like commit to it and say it to your face, or they'd be like, nothing, just completely gaslight you. Nothing, I didn't say anything.
Gaslighting at 11.
Yeah.
Gaslighting at 11. I like that you think it's kind of cool in a mean girl's sort of way.
It's like, it's one of those things where it doesn't feel psychologically mean. Right. Like, it's not so confident that I'm like, oh.
I think it's more confident. I actually think it's Now I'm going to give you deep-seated childhood trauma to unpack. I actually think it's darker. Because I think if she outwardly said, that's what you do, the dynamics of the group are like, I don't like you. This week, you're not my friend. You're out of the group.
Yeah.
Like when I was at high school, I had notebooks that I wrote like percentages of how much someone was a friend. And I was like, Michelle is like 98% best friend this week. And then someone else would be like down the list and like, oh, Charlotte's only got 70%. They would always be above 50%. They were never that rubbish.
They're always passing.
They're always passing. Yeah. But it was just like whether you got an A+ or you know, down the scale. So I always remember those dynamics. Those quite... But I guess the under the breast thing, I wonder if she's kept this up as an adult.
No, she, not that I'm aware of. I mean, every time I've seen her, if she said something, it's at talking volume. Or right. She's gotten really good at whispering.
Imagine if she still did that and she went into work and she was like, can I have those reports in by lunch, please? By the way, your breath stinks.
Yeah.
Like under her breath.
Who knows? I mean, maybe. I've never met anyone else who did something like that. Like, I'm very curious where that came from. If someone, you know, like if, yeah, I don't know.
And if you see her now, is she very friendly with you?
Oh yeah, we were childhood friends, so we don't see each other very often, but when we do, it's like friendly and nice, no whispering that I'm aware of.
That you're aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that you managed to sort of get over that, because I am someone who'd be a bit like, actually, that's not true. I was about to say I'm someone who holds a grudge forever, but there was a girl who I was friends with for many, many years. And the first ever day I met her at play school, she like hit me and stole the harmonica that I was playing with.
How old?
So we must, it would have been at like it would have been before school. So preschool. Okay. So it would have been like 3 or 4 or something, just like a little toddler group. And I was like happily, and I just got smacked. Then had the toy taken off me. But then we did end up becoming friends. Kids are brutal and they have no filter. Which is what's interesting about this, I think, is because it has a touch of filter. It's almost like she knows she shouldn't outwardly voice it.
Yeah.
But she feels she has to say it.
That's why I kind of like it, because I'm like, what would have happened if she held it in? Like, maybe she would have exploded.
Or yeah.
She would have, you know, set her house ablaze. I don't know what she was capable of. So I'm like, part of me is like, that's a decent way of self-regulating. Like, you get to get your feelings off your chest and thinking that it's somewhat harmless. But yeah, no, I heard
everything. She should chat to Warren G.
Yeah.
Because he knows how to regulate.
Yeah.
But this girl. So actually, we think it could possibly be a healthy way to get out your feelings, to like, if you really, maybe we should bring this into our adult lives.
But I think you need to make sure your whispering is much quieter.
Right.
Yeah, I think my issue with her was just voice control.
Right, okay.
It wasn't that she felt negatively towards me. It was that she didn't know how to whisper it quiet enough to where I wouldn't hear it.
Yes. Or, alternatively, put that shit in your diary like everyone else.
Yeah.
When you were that age, did you have a diary?
I had a diary off and on. I wasn't consistent with my journaling, but I had a diary. I was really crazy. I was always boy crazy. And so I have a very fond memory of writing in one of my childhood memories about my crush, Nico. And I loved Nico. And Nico told me that he had a new girlfriend and I was devastated. And so I wrote in my diary, like, I can't believe this. This is the worst day of my life. And I drew a photo, little stick figure caricature of Nico and his new girlfriend holding hands and me standing behind them with a gun. And I was like, I'm going to kill her. That's the only way.
Okay. I imagine if you showed this at school, how you would have had social services coming.
Yeah, it would have been bad.
That's amazing. I have a book next door and I will show you this after the podcast. I have one of my diaries from when I was 14. And in it is a full drawing of me, we call it getting off with, but you would call making out.
Oh.
As I'd done a visual representation of me making out. So I'd drawn the whole picture, his dog, me and him, our NFL sports jackets that we wore at the time because they were huge in the UK. I had a San Francisco 49ers jacket. Did I like the team? No, I just wanted the red and gold jacket.
Yeah.
I think he had a Raiders, which was black.
Yeah.
And white, black or black and silver. Yeah. So I drew the whole picture, and then in the sky is the sun blazing like it's hot.
Yeah.
But then also I've got a chimney which is smoking. So I can't decide what the weather is.
Yeah.
And I think, I think maybe I was a little bit psychotic as a teenager.
Yeah, I think you have like so many hormones pumping through you that it's just so, everything is so extreme and so heightened and everything feels so important and crucial and like finite.
That's the one piece of advice I would maybe give to teenage girls if I was, and to this situation, to speaking to your old grudge, to sort of wrap it up. It is quite healthy to voice your feelings, but also none of the stuff that you think is as important when you're like 14, 15, 13 will probably factor into your life. Like, it seems like it's the end of the world, but it's really not.
But I do think at that time, like, even knowing that, if I had all the wisdom of knowing it didn't ultimately matter, I think you still, especially as a teen, like, have to have those feelings of all or nothing. Like, I think that that's just inevitable, no matter.
It's part of the human growth process, I suppose.
Yeah, because then, you continue to learn the lesson that it doesn't matter. But I think you have to, like, have the feelings of, it does matter, it's the only thing that matters. And then when it doesn't work out, you're like, oh, okay. It chips away at that.
Yeah.
Feeling.
Well, thank you for sharing your old grudge. I like that. I hope you feel a bit better, getting it off your chest, and that we found a new therapeutic technique. I'm going to call it conscious whispering.
Yeah.
That's probably what Gwyneth Paltrow would call it, right? If it was a Goop thing, they would say conscious whispering.
Yeah. Yeah, evil. Yeah, evil whispering is what I would call it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The next section of the podcast is called Topical Cream. That's where we apply some balm to a stingy news story that's got you all het up.
I mean, we talked about it when I saw you, and I think it's the only thing that I've really seen in the news lately, but the Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama.
And his little nasty comments about getting his tongue sucked.
Yeah, like, what?
Yeah, like, the Dalai Lama shouldn't remind you of, like, a creepy uncle.
No, it definitely felt like something that would be on a kink forum somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, how do you... It was weird. I don't mean to kink shame. I do. Some kinks do need shaming. If you are a spiritual leader, asking a child to suck you, that needs shaming. We were sort of going through the Dalai Lama's greatest hits, because didn't he also say that if there was a woman who was going to be the Dalai Lama, she would have to be attractive?
Yeah, what was his reasoning behind that?
I don't know. It's like, a woman can't do this unless I want to bang her.
Yeah.
Or the world wants to bang her. It's no good for her to be...
I mean, to be fair, I think he has a point. I think a lot of times women only get respect if they're worth looking at to some extent.
Yeah.
He might have a point with that one. I don't think it's right. But...
Yeah, we don't agree with the point, but he's not woke. That's what we're saying about the Dalai Lama.
And I'm not sure what suck my tongue means, if there's some kind of maybe underlying metaphor, deeper meaning. I think it's...
I don't think it's how you get to Nirvana.
No.
He's sort of palmed it off as a joke, but I think he's been rightly condemned. It would be creepy behavior if he did it to an adult, but the fact that it was a kid is like kind of a next level.
Yeah.
The current head of the Tibetan government in exile has defended him. over the video. He said his actions were innocent and misinterpreted. His Holiness has always lived in sanctity, following the life of a Buddhist monk, including celibacy.
That's why it makes it even creepier, because I'm like, yeah, this man's never had his tongue sucked, maybe.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe he's just like, I gotta try something new. I'm sick of this.
Who's out there tongue suck? I mean, is this a thing that just... I don't think I've ever said any... I mean, I suppose there's Suck My Kiss, the Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's what that means. Mm.
There's a photo of him literally sticking his tongue out.
Right.
So I imagine he meant it quite literally.
He meant it quite literally, yeah. Expressions of emotions and manners today has been melted together and become vividly westernized. A Tibetan activist in exile wrote on Twitter Monday. That's interesting. Is there any culture where they say you definitely exchange saliva with someone that you are unfamiliar with? I don't think there's any culture in the world that says, you know, because the French, they kiss twice on
maybe
the cheek.
Maybe like spring break handshake. In Cancun.
Spring break, yeah. In Cancun. Is
I think that's the one place where that's just kind of a guarantee.
It's their culture.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for sharing that topical news story, which I think we can all agree has been weird. Not you weird for bringing it, but just as stories go, weird. Not what we expected to pop up in the news this week. This section of the podcast is called Unpopular Opinion. That's where we look at something that you love that everyone else hates, or vice versa, something that you hate that is just so universally loved and you feel out of step. What's your unpopular opinion?
I don't like sweets or chocolate.
What?
Yeah, I don't like chocolate. I don't like sweets. I like savory, and I'm boring. Like with ice cream, I like vanilla. I like dulce de leche. I like a caramel. I like...
You got some basic bitch flavors. Is that what you're saying to me?
Yes. Chocolate, no, never. It doesn't like gross me out, but it's just like so unappealing to me.
So if you're going to have a cookie...
I'll do a chocolate chip. Right. But I don't want it to be so heavy on the chocolate chips.
Okay.
I like a chocolate chip cookie. It's more cookie than it is chocolate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't like a mostly chocolate. I like a brownie, but I need a big scoop of vanilla on top. And the brownie has to be really warm and hot and mushy, and then the ice cream.
And you need the vanilla
top.
To just bring it all down.
Yes.
To ruin it, as I would say.
Yes. Exactly.
I would have like a salted caramel ice cream and stuff. Oh, so you're just a person who has a savory palate. What about the combination of, because this has come up before actually on Unpopular Opinion, the combination of, I think it was Lottie Bedlow who did Bake Off, who was saying that she hates vegetables or like savory things going into cakes. So how do you feel about the combination of sweet and savory together?
I feel like I'd need an example.
Like a date wrapped in bacon.
Oh, yeah, I can do that, but I'm not like looking for it.
You're not out there seeking
it. Yeah, no, I love like a mac and cheese. I love a pasta. I love a bread. Like I much prefer that.
Like burgers with jam in them, where they put like a sweet relish, you know, like a, or a peanut butter and jelly combination.
Yeah, I don't. It's not terrible, but I would prefer that over something sweet. Even like a peanut butter and jelly. Like as long as the peanut butter is there to like balance it out, I'm fine with that.
You're like my husband. He has this real thing about like what I call quite plain flavors. He's like, I like an oatmeal and raisin cookie. He just said this last night.
I love an oatmeal raisin cookie.
Oh God, it's the most basic. Like,
it's so yummy.
It doesn't have to be a double chocolate chip, but like a, if I'm going to have a cookie, I'm going to have a blonde with some chocolate chips in it. Like oats. It's so, I was like, you're so Scottish. It's like oatmeal and raisin, oats, vanilla. He loves vanilla, like Madagascan vanilla ice cream and stuff like that. He likes ready salted crisps, which you would just call salted chips, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you like that?
I like a flavored chip. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like a barbecue. But yeah, I don't like the salt and vinegar ones.
Oh yeah.
The vinegar is a little bit too much.
I love that. I would lick an entire bottom of a packet of salt and vinegar.
It's too much. I don't like the flavor. Even with my potato chip flavors, I like it to be like a I guess, more of a savory.
Is that a British flavor, though? Because I feel like I don't really see salt and vinegar
in America. No, salt and vinegar is huge back home.
Oh, okay.
Just with, with like prepackaged potato chips.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you guys put it on, like you put vinegar on your fries here.
We put, our chips. Yeah. Our chips. And chips are different to fries. If we say fries, we mean American, like you would get at McDonald's, like thin cut French fry.
Oh, okay.
That's when we say fries.
Crisps are
Crisps are potato chips.
Yeah. Ugh.
And then we have, and then chips are what you get from a chip shop, the thick ones.
The thick ones.
That you douse in vinegar. And then if you're...
So you wouldn't put vinegar on the, like, McDonald's style thin fries?
No. Well, I mean, some people probably do, but it doesn't really
It's better
work.
For the...
No, it's got to be soaked up by a big hunk of potato.
Yeah.
And lots of salt. And then, like, depending on where you are in the UK, your add-ons, you know, you've got up in Scotland, you would have salt and they call it salt and sauce. But you could have like chips and gravy or chips and curry sauce, depending on how far you go. So I feel like, and sometimes with unpopular opinion, I like to go in against, I'm like, what is your problem with sweet stuff? And do you think it's just, did you have a bad experience as a kid?
I mean, every once in a while, I'll, you know, get some like sour little sweet treats and stuff. I just never really crave it, but... I think growing up, me and my family, no one in my family is a big sweets person. My parents aren't sweets people. They're also like, they like something a little bit rich and heavier. So they would prefer, like my mom makes this really good banana bread.
Oh yeah. That's
and we grew nice. Up with her banana bread. Right. So that was like our treat. Like just, we would take like a big loaf of it and then just make it like the most disgusting. Like at least I would put like a bunch of butter on top and then heat it up and eat it like every single day. Yes. Oh. So that's what I'm like.
And banana bread isn't that sweet in the grand scheme of things.
There's chocolate chips in it. My mom puts chocolate chips in it.
Yeah, but it's quite a neutral. So you come from a family that don't really, because I'm always interested in that. Like I love Coca-Cola now, but that's because I wasn't, when I was growing up, it wasn't that I wasn't allowed it, but it was very rare.
Yeah.
Like my mom never kept it in the house. She never kept fizzy drinks or anything. And so I think, you know, you do set your palate on quite a few things early doors. So if your family just aren't big sweet eaters, you're not going to be, who am I to say you're wrong with your personal taste buds?
Yeah. My dad, he likes a popsicle. That's like his treat at night. He does a sugar-free popsicle. Because he eats like 12 of them in a row.
I was about to say, yeah, he's living only, on the edge with the sugar-free.
It's only sugar-free because if he gets regular sugar, he would have a heart attack.
So we call those ice lollies.
Oh.
Ice lollies.
I like that.
I know they say ice poles in America, do they?
No, sometimes we have like ice pops.
Ice pops. Yeah. Oh, okay. So we have icy poles or ice lollies. Yeah.
So many fun little words here.
Yeah, I love that we have those. You said toilet earlier and we were all like, oh my God, you're like enjoying
I'm a local.
Toilet.
I'm a local. I live here. Toilet.
Restroom. Because in America they say restroom and I'm like, what I'm about to do in there is not resting.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there was a queue. There was a line for what seemed like the bathroom and I needed to use the bathroom. And so I went to the end of the line and I asked the woman standing at the end. I said, oh, is this the line for the bathroom? She goes, no. I was like, okay. So then I go to the very front of the line just to confirm. I'm like, are you in line for the bathroom? The guy goes, yes. The next person, are you in line for the bathroom? They go, yes. Next person, are you in line for the bathroom? Yes. Finally, I get back to her and she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what you meant. I'm like, what do you mean? You didn't know? I mean, I know it's not what you say, but I'm sure.
Yeah, I would be like, someone, that's the key for this.
If someone in the US were to come up to me and say, is this the line for the toilet? I wouldn't be like, what are you talking about? The toilet? It's the bathroom. Like, what? Oh, it pissed me off.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. That sounds like she's just an arsehole.
Yeah.
But I'm actually, considering we've had this sweet savory thing now for a while, olives have come up as well. I would like to hear from the listeners. Are you sweet? Are you savory? You know, what's your unpopular food? Tweet in and let us know, because I'd like to know about what your unpopular food opinions are. Now, occasionally we get our listeners send us in something for angry art, which is where I promise to get angry on their behalf. Sometimes I shout and swear, but this one I agree with. I think this is a mad, I've been sent this for angry art. Dear Tiff, I'm aggravated that whenever I order shrimp pad thai, now I'm assuming this person is American again, because they're saying shrimp over prawn. That when I order shrimp pad thai or shrimp scampi, the shrimp comes with shells on the tails. It's sloppy to remove the shells with a fork and knife. It's not finger food. What am I to do? Love, Alison. It also says that I'm her niece, and I don't know where that ever came up in conversation. But how do we feel? Like, I feel like off the bat, I'm like, that's just a bad restaurant, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure, because I normally don't order shrimp prawn for my pad thai. So I don't know if that's maybe a more common or normal thing back home.
Because shrimp, she's definitely American. I'm going to go.
Yes.
With, or shrimp scampi. Now, so here's the thing. If you have something like a paella, you will have like small prawns in it, but you'll also, if you've got a king prawn, if anything's coming with a king prawn, you've got to take that apart yourself. Like, that's part of the process of eating a large shrimp. Did you call them king shrimps?
I don't even know. I'm not a big, I don't eat that much shrimp. They're really big here.
Right,
no, okay. I mean, I don't mind, but I feel like here they're really pushing shrimp down your throat. Whereas back home, you're like, there's shrimp on the menu. Here, it's like, we have shrimp everything. Shrimp chips, shrimp crisps.
Yeah, prawn cocktail crisps are a big hit here. I think it's just because it seems very exotic comparatively for the seafood we get. We've got like cod, haddock, you know. So I think it's a gateway. I'm going to say it on the podcast, prawns are a gateway fish for kids because they don't taste massively fishy. So, and especially if you can have like a seafood cocktail sauce, they become quite easy for.
Yeah, it's kind of like the fish version of like a chicken tender. You know, kids, I feel like, love little chicken tenders or chicken nuggets.
Yes, yeah.
Shrimp is like the fun fish version of that.
Yeah, it's the fish nugget.
Yeah.
Or it's the nugget of the sea.
Yes. But yeah, I feel like, that would be annoying to have to take off the tail. Because I'm sure once you get the food, you just want to put it all in your mouth.
Yes.
You don't want to go, oh, yum, there's a shrimp in this bite. And then you're like, oh, I have to take the tail off.
Yeah, a pad thai is, I'm going to say, my advice is stop ordering from this restaurant because it sounds shit. A paella, I expect to be able to go in with my hands because you have like, sometimes you have mussels. So there's fish that you need to take out and deal with, or clams that you go, I've got to go in and get this out. So you're expecting that. With a pad thai, you're not expecting to go in with your hands.
No, you should just eat immediately. Yeah.
So that's my advice, Alison, and probably Ali's as well, is like, buy your pad thai somewhere else.
Yeah, well, I'm curious. Part of me is like, go somewhere else and see if a different place also leaves the tail on. If that's just the way we're doing shrimp pad thai, then I would just, before I eat, I would take off all the tails. That way, once all the tails are off, I can just put my entire face into it and not have to think about it. But even though it is annoying.
I'm going to say hard line. I'm not ordering it if it's coming with that. I'm sending it back. I'm getting my money back. And that's, you know, I'm happy to take them off when I expect it, not when I don't. Thank you for sending your angry aunt in. Before we leave, I also like to ask the guests what they've got coming up and anything you would like to plug. So what have you got going on that you want to tell us about?
If you're in the United States of America, I have some shows. You can go to allymakofsky.com/shows to see where I'll be performing. And if you want to see what I'm getting into, you can follow me on Instagram at notallymac.
Beautiful. Yes, follow Ali. She's very, very funny. She's on various podcasts, other podcasts, including this one. Other podcasts are available, but, you know, this is your favourite. So go check her work out. And she often pops over to the UK. So just look out and see if she's posting or shouting about dates that you can check out her work. I am on tour. I start in May. Sexy Brain will be going to Newcastle, Glasgow, Manchester, London, Maidenhead, Oxford, Birmingham. I may have left some places out. But come see me on tour. I would appreciate it. Follow me on across all the social medias. Thank you for listening to Catharsis.
You can listen to other programmes from The Bugle, including The Bugle, The Last Post, Tiny Revolutions and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.